Good morning. Welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Today is Tuesday, August the 24th, 2021. Let us open with the collect of the day. We're remembering Bartholomew the Apostle, also known as Nathaniel. Almighty and everlasting God, you gave your apostle Bartholomew grace truly to believe and preach your word. Grant that your church may love what he believed and preached what he taught. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Quick history lesson. Nathaniel is believed to have been martyred after converting Polemius, king of Armenia, to Christianity. It's interesting how names work sometimes in the Old Testament to be rather confusing to us moderns. Simon Peter has just a few different names. So, welcome back. Let's see, I'm drinking chocolate Nirvana. It lives up to its name, actually. It's a rich chocolate flavor on top of the coffee, and it's kind of ludicrous, and I probably shouldn't drink it too often because I do feel like I should go out looking for a Toblerone or a Hershey's bar, or basically any kind of chocolate. Dark, don't care. All right, so we are on question 103 of the Catechism on page 51. So we're on page 51 in the section, the Communion of Saints. So question 103. How do you participate in the Communion of the Saints? Answer. I live as a member of the Communion of Saints through faith in Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, by gathering to worship God with my fellow Christians, by praying for and encouraging one another, and by coming to one another's aid in times of trouble, sickness, or grief. Question 103. How do you participate in the communion of the saints? I live as a member of the communion of saints through faith in Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit, by gathering to worship God with my fellow Christians, by praying for and encouraging one another, and by coming to one another's aid in times of trouble, sickness, or grief. So, scriptural references start with Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, live forevermore. Next is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Next is from the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The next is from the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 11 to 18. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask your brothers to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Next is from the Hebrews, book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the final is from the Epistle of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. And this is the end of James' epistle. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wanderings will save his soul from death, and will cover a multitude of sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so let's look again at the... make it noisier with my microphone. My apologies. Question 103. How do you participate? So participation, and I think also of Paul's, when he talks about the communion, the breaking of the bread, is this not a participation? So participate, a very active form of involvement in the communion of the saints. And I think this answer is a very active participation, as opposed to, say, sitting in a class, right? I could give myself a smack aside the head for this. I live as a member of the communion of saints through faith in Jesus Christ. So through faith and the work of the Holy Spirit. So faith in Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. By gathering to worship God with my fellow Christians. Again, there's that joining, right? Worship God with other Christians. By praying for and encouraging one another. Praying for and encouraging. And coming together, coming to one another's aid in times of trouble, sickness, or grief. Coming to one another's aid in times of trouble, sickness, or grief. And I think there's probably more of those moments than we realize. I know there's times when I've been talking to a friend and I've realized there's more going on in their life than they've let me know. And you just have to listen. You have to quiet one's own sense of frustration with things and listen to theirs and to truly hear them and their struggle and to pray for them. And if they so desire, you might impart some wisdom. Scripture is usually better. The older I get, I think I've got a little more wisdom, mostly because wisdom comes from doing things the wrong way. And the older you get, the more you've dumb things you've done to learn that that was a dumb thing. So living together, I mean, there's a lot in here. I swear you could do it. You could do a whole book on this. There probably are books on this, come to think of it. No, yeah, Bonhoeffer's Life Together. Right. So, which I started reading, I haven't finished, Bonhoeffer's Life Together, which I really need to get back to because there was a sense in which I was reading and I thought, man, we should just hand this out like candy at the front door. It's not a very long book, which is partially admonishment on my part for not having finished it yet. So anyway, back to this question. So let's take a look at the Acts of the Apostles. I mean, that psalm's beautiful. I mean, what, three verses? Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Likening it to oil being poured on the head and running down the beard. I think for us it's like, you know, if you're dry and dusty, getting water on the head, you know, in a desert place, the oil acted as sort of the universal ointment, as it were. So it would feel good on a tired and scratchy head to have oil poured on it. And so that's the visual being created, the aesthetic of it. So Acts of the Apostles, the joining together and the breaking of the bread and prayers. I think it's important to remember not too terribly long before this, you have in the Gospel of Luke, the road to Emmaus, walking with Christ, and he's not visible until the breaking of the bread. So they were breaking bread. So they were joining in fellowship, teaching in fellowship, and the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is sort of this initial sort of, it is this initial joining together of the fellowship. And you can imagine it's this great awe. Yeah, the awe came upon every soul. And I'm sure within themselves, it's like, you know, here it is. Here it is. This thing that Christ talked about. You know, we're doing it. Oh my gosh. I mean, they sold their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as had any had need. You know, there's this communalism, this way in which the fellowship of the brothers and sisters in Christ have together and can care for one another. The communalism. I mean, any group of Christians can do this for each other. This self-organized care, right? Attending together. So here's Chrysostom. Also, they continued daily to be of one accord in the temple. They enjoyed the benefit of teaching. Consider how these Jews did nothing else, great or small, than busily attend at the temple. For as having become more earnest, they had increased devotion also to the place. For the apostles did not for the present pluck them up away from this object. For fear of injuring them, daily they went up to a sacred place, as frequently we find Peter and John doing this. For at present they disturbed none of the Jewish observances with exultation and simplicity of heart. For no gladness can exist where there is no simplicity. Here ends the reading. There's this sort of there's this exaltation in the simple things. This joining together of prayers in a sacred place, right? The sacred and the common. The sacred, the common, and the profane, I think is a good, my understanding of a sacramental view of things. I'm in an Anglican, therefore there's a sacramental worldview that comes with being Anglican, I think. We know that certain things are holy, we know certain things are common, and we know certain things are profane. One treats sacramental things with honor. They are not in and of themselves holy things. They are made holy by the devotion to God. These are things devoted to holy things. Just as we are a holy people, as we are devoted to God, things become holy in that they are devoted to the things of God. And they should be handled with the care and respect that we ourselves as vessels of the Holy Spirit should be treated with honor and respect. That's not really what this question is about, but this is, again, back to what is it to be, to participate in the communion of saints. And, you know, there's a lot here of just simple worship and being together. So Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I like that sort of three-part. There's psalms, there's hymns, and there's spiritual songs. With thankfulness in your hearts to God. Tertullian of Carthage. Together they pray. Together prostrate themselves. Together perform their fasts. Mutually teaching, mutually exhorting. Alms are given without danger of ensuing torment. Sacrifices attended without scruple. Daily diligence discharged without impediment. There is no stealthy signing, no trembling greeting, no mute benediction. Between the two echo psalms and hymns. Here ends the reading. Very active discussion of, you know, it's an active worship. There is this aesthetic of between the fasts and mutual teaching and mutual exhorting, you know, the individual aesthetic and the mutual aesthetic, working on one's own soul in prayer, asking for forgiveness for the litany of sins that one has committed since the last time one prayed for forgiveness, and then the joining together for mutual teaching and exhorting. And yeah, for some reason I feel this one pretty significantly today. We've been at our particular parish for probably 7 years, and there's a certain way in which you've really gotten to know lots and lots of people there, and in the same way that they talk about a 7-year itch in a marriage, which is you're no longer on the what. You've really gotten to know the other people, and quite frankly, we're not all very pretty. Right, we've seen each other in good times and in bad times, and our basic nature starts to really be seen, as opposed to the veneer which we usually put on ourselves. You know that, Adam and Eve sewing leaves together to hide themselves. Right, we knit together a mask. And if you spend enough time in a church, the mask eventually, you start to see behind the mask. Like, pastors and priests and all of those, you start to really see who they are. And they're not perfect people, right? None of us are. But we lose that veneer of, oh, they're such a wonderful preacher and such godly men. And it turns out that, you know, we all have feet of clay. And it just like in a marriage, you're going to have to work through that. I have to work through that. You know, are they perfect men and women? Of course not. Neither am I. And there's a decision there to stay in that, you know, this participation, this settling in, and just seek the forgiveness of my own sins, and if somebody's sinned against me, to forgive them, and move on. Just, all right. Let's turn then to this passage in Thessalonians. What a lovely. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And that there's this, echo in James. It has such an eerie repetition. You know, let them pray, let them sing praises, bring the sick out, you know, encourage one another. Here we are, just repeating the same concepts over and over and over again. So I'm actually going to go with two quotes because I think they both capture something really beautiful, some really crystal thoughts. So it's Augustine of Hippo, and then, of course, St. John Chrysostom. You know, really, there's a lot of Chrysostom because it's so easy to find Chrysostom homilies. It's just incredible, the amount that he wrote and how much is preserved, actually. As Providence would have it. So, Augustine of Hippo, AD 430. Hence, as far as concerns us, who are not able to distinguish those who are predestined from those who are not, we ought on this very account to will all humanity to be saved. Severe rebuke should be medicinally applied to all by us, that they neither themselves perish, nor may be the means of destroying themselves. It belongs to God, however, to make that rebuke useful to them, whom he himself has foreknown and predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. We do not abstain from admonishing for fear lest we rebuke a person, lest by rebuke a person should perish. So why do we not also rebuke for fear that one should rather perish by our withholding admonition? For there is no greater act of compassion on our part than when the blessed apostle says, rebuke those that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil. Here ends the reading. And then Chrysostom. If we are to hate ungodly and lawless men, we shall go on also to hate sinners. Thus, in regular succession, you will find yourself cut off from most of your brothers, indeed, from all of them. There is not one of them without sin. If it is our duty to hate the enemies of God, we would have to hate not only the ungodly, but backsliders as well. Then we would be worse than wild beasts, shunning all and puffed up with pride, just like the Pharisees. Paul commanded us differently. Admonish the disorderly, encourage the faint-hearted, support the weak, be long-suffering toward all. Here ends the reading. And then let's turn towards Hebrews, which will be the last one with a quote, because nobody had anything to say on James, interestingly enough. James being one of the most difficult epistles, I think, in the sense that plenty of people have argued whether it even belongs in within the what's considered scripture. I do think, however, that James is a powerful medicinal voice that sort of sets the outer limit. That sounds... There's a great deal of space between the teachings of Paul and the teaching of James. And I think, in a way, if I may be so bold to say that there's a bit of parentheses on either side of them, that you fit, that the Christian faith somehow fits between those bookends. And James really does create a heavy marker on one side, and Paul has a marker on the other. You know, these are two well-trained Jews, right? They know their Old Testament scripture, and they're understanding Christ and explaining to him to us in light of their knowledge of scripture. And, you know, when you read Proverbs, there's two sides of it. There's those who do good things will come to them. But then there's also the other side, which is there are those who are lawless and do evil things. And so sometimes bad things happen to otherwise decent people because evil exists. And there's this way in which, boy, I'm really worried I'm not going out too far here, but that, you know, those are the two bookends. Feel free to disagree with me on that. But that's the way, and James just can feel like alcohol in a wound sometimes. But that's good, right? It's cleaning out the evil, the bacteria, as it were. Okay, I've waxed way too long on that one, and eloquently and extemporaneously. So, Hebrews. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. So, love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Here's Chrysostom. It's an exceedingly long quote that I found, and I'm only going to do a portion of it. It must have actually been a whole homily that I found. I'm going to give you the first part of it, and I'm going to copy and paste the whole thing into the show notes. Dear Lord, help me remember to put this in the show notes. Then he adds, so here's Chrysostom. Then he adds the perfect thing, love. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, which some, he says, do, and divide the assemblies. For a brother helped by a brother is as a strong city, Proverbs 18:19. But let us consider one another to provoke unto love. What is, let us consider one another. For instance, if any be virtuous, let us imitate him. Let us look on him so as to love and to be loved. For from love good works proceed. For the assembling is a great good, since it makes love more warm. And out of love all good things arise. For nothing is good which is not done through love. This then let us confirm toward each other. For love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13:10. We have no need of labors or of sweatings if we love one another. If a pathway leading of itself towards virtue, it is a pathway leading of itself towards virtue. For as on the highway, if any man find the beginning, he is guided by it, and he has no need of one to take him by the hand. So it is also in regard to love. Only lay hold on the beginning. And once you are guided and directed by it, Love works no ill to its neighbors, Romans 13:10, thinks no evil, 1 Corinthians 13:5. Let each man consider himself, how he is disposed toward himself. He does not envy himself. He wishes all good things for himself. He prefers himself before all. He is willing to do all things for himself. If then we were so disposed towards others also, all grievous things are brought to an end. There is no enmity, there is no covetousness, for who would choose to overreach himself? No man, but on the contrary, we shall possess all things in common, and shall not cease assembling ourselves together. And if we do this, the remembrance of injuries would have no place. For who would choose to remember injuries against himself? Who would choose to be angry with himself? Do we not all make allowances for ourselves most of all? If we were thus disposed towards our neighbors also, there would never be any remembrance of injuries. And it goes on in the same similar vein. So I'll post that because it is quite long. Keep going. Probably another 5 minutes worth of 5 minutes worth of reading. Thank you for listening. If you liked the show, please give us a like and a review on iTunes if you're there. If you're on other platforms, whatever process exists there, please also do that. Like I've said in other shows, if you think you can do this better, please do so. My hope and dream for this is that the catechesis in general becomes a normative thing. Like the word catechism and catechesis aren't strange things, but regular instruction in the basics of the faith to new believers and older believers so that we can each adequately articulate the things of the faith. If you have thoughts and comments, I can be reached at amateuranglican@gmail.com, amateuranglican@gmail.com. I'm on the social medias, Richard Reeb, Amateur Anglican. There's some podcast links stuff in there. Again, thank you for listening. So let's close this out. The collect of the day, Tuesday after the 13th Sunday after Pentecost. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.